Let's look in our Bibles right quick. I'll try not to be long this morning. I don't want to teach you points this morning. I want you to capture the essence of the heart of the Apostle Paul. Y'all turn in your Bibles to Acts 20. Acts 20. I'm going to read several verses, but like I said, I'm not going to come in and expositorily teach this. I'm not even going to come in and say, I got 3 points and a conclusion. Sometimes that happens, but we don't aim at that. I have been so moved by the Apostle Paul and what I see in the book of Acts as his heart. We mainly know the Apostle Paul from a couple of things. The fact that he wrote probably 2/3 of the New Testament in his epistles. And from his Damascus Road experience when he had his conversion and began to his journey with Christ. And those are the things that we really see. And I don't know about you guys, but as I read the book of Acts, it's reading almost like a historical account of the early church and what happened at the early church. And that's the way I read it. That's the way I approach it. You know, he's going here and he's establishing a church here, and Peter's going to Cornelius' household, and this is happening, and timelines and all of this. And it's amazing stuff. You know, we have the stories that we like to preach about the Philippian jail and the earthquake, and came in when Paul and Silas were there and been beaten and singing praises and all of this stuff and praying. And we see all these amazing things. But the Lord's had me look at it from, I would say, more of a 30,000 feet. And in looking at the Apostle Paul in his heart for the church. And we see that when Paul is feeling a push from the Holy Spirit that I need to go to Jerusalem, the same time being warned by the Holy Spirit that you're going to wind up in bonds, ultimately going to Rome. But he is going back toward Jerusalem. He wants to get there before the Passover feast. And so he's up in Greece as he starts this journey. And he's going from this different place to place as he starts his journey back to Jerusalem. It has a very strong feel like Jesus in the Gospel of John in chapters 14 up until the Garden of Gethsemane. Because he's going these places and he's meeting with his leaders. He's saying, this is the last time you're going to see me. He knows that he will not be retracing that route again. He knows by the Spirit or whatever that he's going to lay his life down for the gospel. And so it's a, In some cases, I've got 3 months. Some cases, I've got 1 week. Some cases, I've got 1 day. And so I see him in this with such a heart for the body of Christ, such a heart for the church. And his whole heart is, I want to strengthen the church. I want to strengthen these believers. I want to encourage them. I want to help them. I want to come and I want to pour into their lives, because this is my last time I'm going to be with you, church at Corinth. This is the last time in this case that we're looking today with the leaders from Ephesus that the elders came over. And this is the last time I'm going to be with you. And so he was saying what was significant and he was doing what was significant. We don't see any Mars Hill experiences where he's going in and he's preaching the gospel, trying to convert a bunch of people. His focus is on the body of Christ. His focus is on the church. And I want us to, at least with me, I want to reinvigorate. I don't even think that's a good word. I want to resurrect my heart for the church. This recent church scandal on a national scale with a well-known leader that I have always had the utmost respect for, has, boy, really shaken me. I would say it's shaken Lori too. And we're just kind of like, my gosh. And it's caused a lot of self-inspection at my life and saying, can I be honest with y'all? If you look at me and in if you follow me in my life when I'm like on our property on the farm, like I was talking about a while ago, the project that I'm doing and all of that stuff, and I'm sitting here, man, and I am nurturing a dang oak tree. I mean, it's like I'm, you know, I don't do it, but it wouldn't be a stretch for me to be out there hugging an oak tree, you know. It means that much to me. The way I touch our horses and feel such a deep connection with our horses, that Isaac is, as I look into their eyes, it's like looking into the eyes of an elephant. If you've ever looked into the eyes of an elephant, even look into pictures into the eyes of elephants, and there's a deep soul in there, and so I'm like that with our horses. And just the way I touch them and caress them and have a deep, deep love for them and want to care for them. I mean, my gosh, we ship in hay from Idaho, you know, because it's Timothy hay. And then, see, I bring in pallets of hay from Idaho to feed our horses. That's the value I place on them. You know, the cows, in a couple of hours, I'll be out there rolling out the hay and I'll be walking among them and patting them and touching them and just loving on them and all of that stuff. That's the deep connection I feel with the land. That's the deep connection I feel with the animals that God has gifted us with. And God said, you have a deeper connection with that than you do the body of Christ. And he said, I love the fact that you have a deep connection for the land. I love that you have a deep connection for the animals that I've gifted you in your life. He said, I love that. But he said, even greater than that is my church. Even greater than that is the body of Christ. And he said, I want you to feel like that and even more so with people. Not just people, not just the visitor or the stranger that comes in, not just the strangers that come in that we'll be ministering to. Not all of them are strangers, but you know, when we're in Honduras, some of them are old friends, and some of them will be people we've never laid eyes on, and we'll minister to them and minister to them well. But he said, I want you to feel so strongly about the Brett Houses and the Nick Whites and the generations that come behind that, their children. And you know, I just have these. It's easy for me to love the Siegel kids because I love the Siegels. But he said, I want you to have this deep love, this deep care, this deep conviction and connection to the body of Christ. And I believe that has been robbed from us because of a myriad of reasons. You know, we say it's the culture that we live in. We say it's pain that people cause you and people hurt you. You know, we've always said, use the thing, yeah, sheep bite. So that's why the shepherd has a staff, because he's got to beat the sheep down in the head because they'll bite. And so what we do is we guard our hearts. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. And we guard our hearts from God. And he says, I want you to guard your heart so that cynicism doesn't come in. So that indifference doesn't come in. So that bitterness doesn't come in. So that whatever doesn't come in. And I want you to start recognizing the body. You look at a 50-year-old oak tree and you're like, this is just the most amazing thing. Well, Eric Labby is a greater gift than a 50-year-old oak tree. Jessica, I'll quit talking. Y'all think I got a man crush on Eric, man, just a little bit. I know. But that's how we're supposed to love the body. A few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, we had just the most amazing service. I mean, it was, I shared with, I guess it was Marty and Krista. I went by their house the other day and I told the worship team, I said, I have never felt the way I did in worship a few weeks ago. Never. Physically, my body, I mean, it was like I just had to collect myself before I could even preach. And man, I've been in some good stuff. well, amazing people like Stephanie Gerritsinger and Jeremy Riddle. I mean, where I thought, man, this is, God's about just to snatch all us out of here. But I've never felt like I did the other day, and in reflecting, and we had such a diverse crowd a few weeks ago, and diverse things, that, different things that were going on in people's lives, and I mean, I wasn't the only one. It was so tangible, wasn't it, guys? It was absolutely amazing. And I was meditating on that. It was actually after Ida's funeral that evening. I was meditating. I was like, God, teach me what was so significant about this. And he said, the crowd that was in church that Sunday was a perfect picture of the world. And you loved them like I loved them. You saw them like I saw them. And when you love them like I love them, my presence comes rushing in. My presence becomes so tangible. And I'm sitting here looking at the Apostle Paul, and I am such deep respect and honor and amazement as I look at him because of who he was. This is, other than Jesus Christ, this is the most impressive cat in the New Testament. I mean, I'm serious. No offense to Peter. I like Peter's personality. But the Apostle Paul was, he was born a free Roman in Tarsus. That meant something back then. He was born a free Roman. He was brilliant. Scholars say that he spoke six languages fluently. Man, I ain't got English mastered yet. We struggle with that, right, Brian? And he could speak fluently in six languages. He was taught by Gamaliel, which was the preeminent, I mean, you want to learn the Torah, you go sit under Gamaliel. And it was a privilege to be able to sit under Gamaliel. And he learned and he studied under Gamaliel. That's pre-conversion. And then after the conversion, he comes in and the Holy Spirit brings him into a place, miraculous stuff on his conversion and healing of his eyesight. The Holy Spirit comes in and gives him such deep understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom, such deep revelation. And this guy's got all of this insight. He's got all of this revelation from God about the kingdom and what it looks like. He comes in and as he's going from city to city, yeah, he's enduring a lot, but my gosh, the miracles, guys. We talked about it last week or the week before. We talked about him raising the guy from dead that fell out of the window. And he walked down there like it wasn't him a big deal. Raised him from the dead, goes back up, have communion, eat dinner together, and then he preaches six more hours till daylight. His focus, he wasn't aiming on the miracles. He was aiming at strengthening the body. A couple chapters prior to that, you know what it said about him? It said they were taking articles of clothing that were either from him or had touched him. It's where you get the thing of selling handkerchiefs on TBN, prayer cloths. But it really did happen with the Apostle Paul. And they would take these articles of clothing and they would come and they would lay them on somebody that was sick and they would be healed. Does that not mind-boggling to me? To you, it is to me. This was going on in the Apostle Paul's life, and you know what his focus was? It wasn't on my image, how I'm perceived by the world, me building a mega anything. He wasn't going after likes. He wasn't going after followers or anything like that. You know what his focus was on? The body of Christ. It was on loving the Brett houses and then coming in loving the children of the Brett houses. And that was his focus. And guys, this dude's up here. And he comes in and it's with constant tears and constant, man, I want to come in and I want to love you and I want to strengthen you and I want to encourage you. And that's, I feel like that's the breath that God's breathing in the church right now. Feel like that's what he's breathing into victory right now. We talk about guarding full. That's what he's wanting to breathe in us, that we love each other with a ferocity, with a passion, with a pureness, with a pureness. You know why our worship team's so good? It's not because we got a bunch of talented musicians. It's not knocking anybody. Miss Linda being here this morning. Happy to have Tyler back. But when everybody's here, and Noah, when everybody's here, it is like, I have made this statement for the last probably 6 months now, maybe a year, and to multiple people. And I said, you know why our worship team is so good? I said, our worship team is the purest it's ever been. Our worship team is the purest that it has ever been. We've been a church for 20-something years here in our worship team, and that's not knocking anybody in the past. That's where we reality of where we are right now. Our worship team feels like the Apostle Paul to me right now. To where it's like, man, we want to come in and we want to minister to him and we want to minister to these people. And they come in and they're like, man, talking with Rod after the first Sunday he came, and we were in Bremen and we were talking, and he said, man, I didn't know praise could be like that. And he said, I grew up in church. You know why it's so good? It's not because, yeah, they can sing good and they can play guitars good and all that stuff, but it's because it's pure. It's pure. And that's what the Apostle Paul was walking in. And I want to love, here's the thing, you know what? That oak tree can do nothing, can give me nothing back other than me sitting there and looking at its beauty and all of that. So my nurture and care for an oak tree is not really self-serving. Because a lot of these, I will never see their splendor, but my grandchildren will. That book you sent me, Nick. Said, check this out. And if I can love something that can't serve me back with the love of Christ, that's when it gets pure. When I can love you because you're His. When I can love you because you're so valued by Him. And so I asked myself the question, and this is my prayer for my life, and this is, I'm just kind of rambling a little bit this morning, if everybody's okay with that. I'm going to read some scripture, throw some on you in a second. But I begin to ask myself the question as I look around, and I see all of these people that are gifts to the body, that are gifts to me, that are gifts to you. Isaac Siegel's a gift to you. Trevor House is a gift to you. Mary House is a gift to you. You're a gift to me. And I asked myself, I said, something that is of great value, how do I carry it? How do I handle it? It's not something to be manipulated. It's not something to be indifferent toward. How many of y'all are casual with the things that are of great value to you? You think about what's great value to you. How many of y'all are casual with that? Friday night when we went to the One More Man, Lori had all five grandkids, and she went and they went to the movies and ate out. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, watch over them and protect them. Just give them a safe trip. Because the value of the cargo that she was carrying is beyond measure to me. First with her and then my five grandchildren. The things that are of great value, do we carry them casually? Do we carry them? Bill Johnson, I love a quote that he says, live your life. He said, think about the Holy Spirit coming down as a dove. I know it was in as a dove comes down. It wasn't necessarily in the form of a dove. But he said, live your life with the way that the dove is on your shoulder. and you don't want it to leave. And so you live your life accordingly. So how do I handle you? How do I handle you? How do I care for that? What are my thoughts toward that? What is my intention toward that? How do I view that? How do I view her? One of my least liked phrases is when somebody refers to their wife as their old lady. I hear that a lot at motorcycle rallies, you know, and I want to like get a machete and cut their head off. In the love of Jesus. And I'm like, I bet you got a great marriage if you view your wife as my old lady. She's a treasure. She's a gift. She can be ornery sometimes, but she's a treasure and a gift. That's true. I was about to throw some lyrics from a Hall & Oates song from the 70s on that. Y'all could totally relate. What I want you got, but it might be hard to handle. That's it. And I don't mean that in a sexual light. And I'm saying we need each other, guys. Randy, I need you, brother. You need me. And we're going. I'm gonna do it backwards today. I'm going to talk and then just kind of read the scripture, and then we'll say Salah. But he's telling these leaders at the church in Ephesus right here. He said, guard your hearts and be whole. You know why he's saying guard your hearts and be whole? Because the body needs you to be whole. The body desperately needs you to be whole. Jamie, your daughter needs you to be whole. But this body needs you to be whole. Y'all need me to be whole. So I can lead you, so that I can properly feed you. I want to give you good stuff so it'll strengthen you and encourage you. And we talk about how the world needs us, and it does, but I want to tell you something, guys. It starts right here, and we need each other. I need you. Tyler, I need you to stay in that place you are right now and even go deeper than that place. I need you there because it does something in me. It brings a permission in here. I want my faith to be such that it gives you permission to stretch in your faith. To believe for ridiculous stuff. I mean ridiculous stuff. In the kingdom, in life. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Y'all ready to read some scripture? Verse 18. He is in a place called Miletus. He was in such a, he felt such an urgency that he needed to get to Jerusalem that he said, I can't go to Ephesus and stay there. He said, so y'all come meet me. And so you know what the elders did? They came and met him. They could have got a little bit sideways about it and said, well, man, you went and stayed a week here and you can't even come out of your way to us. No, they knew his heart for them. They knew his heart for advancing the kingdom. And so they came and they met him. And as they come there, he begins to speak to them. And he says in verse 18, when they arrived, he said to them, all of you know how I've lived and conducted myself while I was with you. From the first day I set foot in Western Turkey, I've operated in God's miracle power. I actually like the King James translation from the Greek. That's from Aramaic. The King James translation, which is from the Greek, says, I've served the Lord with great humility and served you with many tears. He said, all of you know how I've lived and conducted myself while I was with you. He lived transparent. His life was a life of transparency. If we are living the way that the Lord has established us to live and called us to live and created us to live, we can live a life of transparency without shame. I like it that Adam and Eve, before the fall, they lived naked in the garden. Now, I'm not promoting nudist colony or anything like that, but I, to me, that's hugely symbolic. There was no shame. This is who we are. This is how we live. This is our life. What you see is what you get. It hurts my heart when stuff comes out the closet and you're like, my gosh, you're kidding. 20 years ago, you're kidding. I'm like, just to be real. Let's just be live a life. And if our life is not a life that we can live transparently, then maybe we need to change the way we're living. If it's something I have to keep covered up, if it's something I have to keep hid. I see that with Jesus. I see it with Paul, man. They were transparent. Even Peter, he was transparent. Got him in trouble sometimes, but he was transparent. He said, all of you know how I've lived and conducted myself while I was with you. He said, I've operated in God's miracle power, or I've served the Lord with great humility and served you with many tears. Look and see what he's saying. He says, man, I'm serving you. I'm in a place of humility with tears. This doesn't sound like pride or arrogance or puffing himself up or a superstar preacher or anything like that. He's like, man, I so want you guys to get this. He's about to use a phrase several times, and you see it throughout the book of Acts. Withholding nothing. I didn't hold anything back from y'all. I didn't hold anything back from y'all. He says, I've endured numerous ordeals because of the plot of the Jews. You know how I've taught you in public meetings and in your homes, and that I've not held anything back from you that would help you grow. I've not held anything back that would help you grow. I urge both, verse 21, I urge both Jews and non-Jews to turn from sin to God and to have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am captive to the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem without really knowing what will happen to me there. Yet I know that the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town, saying chains and afflictions are prepared for you. And then verse 24, it says, but whether I live or die is not important, for I don't esteem my life as indispensable. It is more important for me to fulfill my destiny and to finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned to me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of God's grace. James was talking about the thing I love about the Apostle Paul is how focused he was. He never wavered from his focus. He never wavered from his focus. It's what drove him. His life union with Christ and what that looked like, what that produced. Because if I have this life union with Christ and it is as it should be, then the people that God has brought into my life as a gift to me and me as a gift to them, then you know what my driving desire should be? That, man, they get this thing that I've got. They get this thing I've got. I want my family to love the land. I want my family to love the things that we love. All the grandkids just say it's a rare occasion. I wanted to ride horses, and maybe Errol was the one that was kind of prodding a little bit. Thank you for that, if it was. And we got through, and we saddled up, you know, 4 or 5. Me and Lori weren't riding. We were walking, and we were just doing it on our land. And all the grandkids were riding the horses and all that. And then Errol was like, you know, thank you for that. I know that took effort. You know, you got a couple miles of walking in, but you're saddling all the horses and, you know, leading for the littles and the older grandkids. They don't need you to lead them around and all that. And, you know, just thank you for the effort. And I said, that was no effort at all. I said, because I want them to love what we love. And if the things that you love have value, if you deem them as valuable in your life, then you'll want others to catch that same thing. I'm not saying we have the same hobbies, but we have the same passions. We have the same drive. We have the same desire to see Judah to succeed on a wrestling mat. Because it's a big deal to him. So that makes it a big deal to us. That's when y'all had y'all's region, man. I was so excited that we went down there, and then when Judah was ready, it was region, wasn't it? When we were doing region, and there's like 20 people from the church showed up to watch Judah wrestle. And it was amped up. It was, you know, wrestling's pretty cool anyway. It's an intense sport. You know, we got a taste of that when Nick was living with us and coming through, and then Brett, and man, I forgot how much I loved the wrestling. And we go in, and it's just three minutes of intensity, but all the crowd and all of that stuff, you know. And James was sitting next to us, and James like, I don't know nothing about wrestling, you know. I know Ric Flair and all of that, but that's not near. That's wrestling. That's not wrestling. That's wrestling. Dusty Rhodes. But it was a big deal for him and Kami and the kids because it was a big deal to you. And our schedules don't always make that stuff happen, so I'm, you know what I mean on that. But if these things that we place value on, if I have something that has absolutely changed my life, transformed my life, transformed my marriage, transformed my children and my grandchildren, then I can't really say I love you if I don't want you to get the same thing. If I don't want the same thing for your life, Jacob. If I don't want the same thing for your marriage. For your world. If I don't want the same thing for Jesse and Melissa. When we start loving each other like that, when we start recognizing each other like that, guys, then the world sees that because that's special and that's unique. That's when our worship changes. That's when our generosity changes. That's when our approach to the world, our evangelism changes. It's not when we get the whiteboard out and we show them all the right doctrine and the right points and we go through the right evangelism thing and we give them out tracts because they're dirty, rotten sinners and they're going to go to hell and all of that. And I've give out tracts in the wrong spirit. But when we start getting this, guys, that's when our lives are transformed. And in turn, that's when the world starts getting transformed. That's when we start really making a difference. That's when we start shining. And I love the Apostle Paul in his approach in this. He could be the rock star of Christians at this time. And he's like, man, I come with humility and serve you with many tears. He said, I esteem my life as indispensable. Then verse 25, he says, I've been a part of your lives and shared with you many times the message of God's kingdom realm. But now I leave you and you will not see my face again. If any of you should be lost, I will not be blamed, for my conscience is clean. Because I've taught you everything I could about God's eternal plan and I've held nothing back. Man, he's come in. And how many times is he going to say that? I taught you everything I could. I held nothing back. Held nothing back. I held nothing back. I didn't leave out any ingredients. Didn't leave out any ingredients. We got to get past this thing where we think the Lord's holding out on us a little bit. Because he's not holding anything back. And if we will just dive in and just say yes and take the plunge, we'll get full immersion. We'll get full immersion. But if we are not in purity of heart toward him and toward each other, I think this is the big stumbling block, is the purity in heart toward each other. I think that's the big thing that blocks the flow of heaven in us and through us. Is because, you know, secretly, we don't say this, but secretly, you know what we've got? We've got a sign in our office and it says, "I like dogs and tolerate people." I don't literally have those signs, but I've got those signs here. I've got them right here. I like dogs and tolerate people. I like oak trees and I tolerate people. I like grapevines and I tolerate people. And God said, "I established and purchased." I did this. Established and purchased. We need to shift our viewpoint to his viewpoint. Be transformed in that, I should say. All right, I'm going to close up with this. Verse 28. So guard your hearts. Be true shepherds over all the flock and feed them well. Guard your hearts. Be true shepherds over all the flock and feed them well. That's not just talking to a pastor. That's to all of us. It was the elders from Ephesus. But that's a message to all of us. Guard your hearts. Watch over the flock. Feed them well. Don't go with what's cheaper. Don't go with what's easier. Don't do anything microwave in life. Microwave ought to be used for two things, and that's it. Cooking popcorn and warming up coffee. Other than that, and yet we come in and that's how we want to do each other. Not just a preacher and the message he preaches. That's how we want to do each other. Right? If we want to do it right with each other, you know what we do? We come in and we prep the meal. We prepare the meal. And then we clean up the mess behind it. Lori calls me Bobby Flay, not because I can cook good, because I can make a big mess. She said, "Kitchen looks like Bobby Flay been in here." I said, "Yeah, no problem with that. Ain't nobody to come behind and clean up. Just me and you, baby." But if we want to do it right with each other, that's what we do, Brett. That's what we do. That's what we do. I'm talking about by each other. I'm not even talking about to the Lord. Because he said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And we want to honor the Lord and put value on the Lord and minister to the Lord and worship the Lord and despise or tolerate each other or be indifferent to each other. Do you know a text goes a long way? A hug goes a long way? "Hey, brother, I'm thinking about you today." That goes a long way because it's an intent. Jake Fromm said a couple of things I liked the other night, and I mean more than a couple. There's a couple of things that stuck out to me, but just one of them was the people he surrounded himself with, and I like that, and that is so crucial and that's so important. But he talked about his high school football coach, and what his high school football coach was such a strong spiritual leader in his life, and still is to this day. He said, "I'm in the NFL," and he said, "My." No offense, Georgia fans. Didn't say nothing about Kirby being no spiritual influence, Tony. But he said, his high school football coach. He said, to this day, you know what I get? He said, I get a scripture verse of the day text to me every day from my high school football coach. He said, I've been out 8 years. Every day. I was in barbershop a year or two ago, Rhett. And one of the guys in there was like, he knew we were related. He said, man, I still get texts from Ricky Tollison on Bible scripture every morning. And we think somehow we can minister to the Lord and honor the Lord and place value on the Lord and esteem the Lord and carry the Lord with a place of, I'm going to carry the Ark of the Covenant on my shoulders, and we put each other on the ox cart. Because it's slick, it's easy, it's convenient. I'm not supposed to carry you on an ox cart, Randy. I'm supposed to carry you on my shoulders. He said, if you do it to me, do it to them. And as you do it to them, you're doing it to me. We get in this circle of love again. You know what it'll do, guys? It'll bring us into a deeper life union with Him. Everybody says, I want my relationship with the Lord to grow. Well, I'm nothing wrong with devotion in the morning, but just sitting down for 30 minutes reading a book about Him, you start ministering to His. You start loving on His. And it will usher in such presence. Guard your hearts, be true shepherds over all the flock, feed them well. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit who appointed you to guard and oversee the churches. Listen to this. For everybody that doesn't place value on church, that's kind of a cool theme this day. You know, it blows my mind. I'm on just real quick tangent on this. Blows my mind. All these people that say, I don't need church and church is man-made and all of that stuff. I just listen to podcasts. Where do you think all those podcasts come from? Church. I just listened to Bill Johnson. Where the heck do you think Bill Johnson's preaching that sermon? In church. Where do you think Damon is preaching that sermon? In church. And he comes in and we say, oh, I don't need it. It ain't a big deal. It's a big deal to God. Look and see what the Apostle Paul said. He said, the churches that belong to Jesus, the anointed one, which he purchased and established by his own blood. Which he purchased and established by his own blood. Then he comes in and he talks about people that will come in, and he said they'll be like savage wolves and they'll try to destroy the flock. He said, remember, he said, so be alert and discerning. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, I've never stopped warning each of you, pouring out my heart to you with tears. And so now I entrust you into God's hands and the message of His grace, which is all that you need to become strong. Watch His heart that they'll become strong. Watch His heart that they'll be strengthened in the Lord. The Greek word for that is the word that we get architecture from, and that means to build you up. My heart's to build you up. Build you up. It's to build you up. To build you up. All of God's blessings are imparted through the message of His grace, which He provides as the spiritual inheritance given to all of His holy ones. I haven't been after your money or any of your possessions. You all know that I've worked with my hands to meet my own needs and the needs of those who've served with me. I've left you an example of how you should serve and take care of those who are weak. For we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus, who taught giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. After Paul finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all cried with great weeping as one after another hugged Paul and kissed him. What broke their hearts the most were his words, "You will not see my face again." Then they tearfully accompanied Paul back to the ship. Luke, who wrote this book, he goes on and he says in the beginning of chapter 21, he said, after we tore ourselves away from them. After we tore ourselves away from them. That's a pretty strong, endearing term, isn't it? So I'm blown away by the heart of the Apostle Paul. He could have tapped into fame, riches. Instead, he humbly served the body of Christ because he knew the treasure that it was. Because he placed that value on Jesus, and Jesus placed that value on this. We were at Corinth a couple years ago, and Laura and I were walking among the ruins and all of that. And they said, right there's the public stage or whatever where he was tried when he was tried in Corinth. It's a platform where they would come out and they would have those public things. And they tried him there. And you know what? I wasn't focusing and rocked out about where he got tried. You know what I wanted to know? Where'd he make tents? And nobody could say, but you know what I'm thinking? Me and Lori are walking around the ruins of Corinth, and I'm in my mind, James, I'm saying, I wonder where Paul made tents. And he came in, and he worked with his hands, and he loved the body of Christ, and he strengthened them every day. You say, man, what's my purpose in life? Look around you. Look around you. That's your purpose. Quit being narcissistic. Quit being self-serving. And look around you. This is your purpose. The Lord wants you to be whole. They need you to be whole. They desperately, you know, we can really bring it in. Y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm finished. Worship team, will y'all jump up here? We break it down real simple, Norma, and we can say, well, it's the obvious, Brian needs you to be whole. Jesse needs you to be whole. The grandsons need you to be whole. Your son-in-law needs you to be whole. They need you to be whole. Rod needs you to be whole, too. You don't know Rod. That's the first time you've ever seen him that I know of. He wasn't here last week. Y'all were gone the week before. He was here the week before. He needs you to be whole. The Labbies need you to be whole. How do we carry this treasure? How do we minister to this treasure? How we strengthen this treasure. That's what captured Paul's heart. That's what captured Paul's heart. That's what should capture ours. That's what should drive us. More than redeeming an oak tree. More than redeeming an oak tree. So just look in the purity of your life toward each other. Because Jesus said that if you love me or say you love me, but don't love your brother. I think that's mainly as found in James, but Jesus said it, spoke it through him. You talk about how much you love me, but do you love Courtney like that? We don't know each other, and we need to. You know, Courtney had surgery this week. Do you know Casey Bridges' dad had open heart surgery 3 days ago? Do you know he changed jobs? She was dealing with this. You see what I'm saying, guys? That I may know him. I need to know you. You say, I ain't got time, man. Got more than you think. You know, see how much time you got? Check your phone, see how many hours you spent on it this week. It'll tell you how much time you got. How many hours you spend on Instagram or ESPN? I ain't got time. Sure we do. Sure we do. How's she doing at Georgia? Hope you're flourishing. I need to know that. And quit living such a secret life. I don't want nobody to know my business. Apostle Paul said, I live transparently before you. All know how I lived. You all know how I lived. It's my life. It's not a bragging board. It's my life of God's beautiful grace. Because if you look in my life, you know what it's supposed to look like? God's amazing story of redemption. And that's not always the wild testimony. I used to be a drug head and God came in and did this. You know what the great testimony is? Not what he brought you out of, but what he brought you into. And I am walking and living in glorious light. And that's what you need to see every day. Right? That's where he wants us. So I don't know, man, how you need to respond. Maybe you need to have communion, prayer, whatever. But I do ask you to respond in your heart somehow. Because I feel like that's what God's breathing in this house. I think that's what he's breathing in this house. So that's how we live together. That's how we do life together. That's how we love each other. And by this, they'll know you're my disciples. Not because you got a pocket full of tracks. Not because you're head of FCA. How do you minister to the kids? How do you love on the kids? How do you embrace the kids? Amen. Father, I just pray you stir and move in our hearts. We talked about purity this morning with the worship team. I want us to be pure, and not only pure toward you, but pure toward each other. Unbroken fellowship. Strengthening and encouraging like the Apostle Paul did. That we would follow, we would see and follow his example. That drove his heart, that moved his heart. And I pray that would so stir in us. So stir in us. We'll just have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come.
getting this mic's like trying to get in on a game of double dutch. Like we talked about today, I had that tug on my heart, like you said this morning, Lisa, I didn't want to grab this mic for the last hour. That's why I went and got Nick. But, early on in my marriage, I traveled for work. And when I was gone, Jess could always tell me, she's like, I can't sleep when you're not here. Can't sleep when you're not here. And, you're immature when you first get married. If you get, you get married young and you start to age and start to realize what that means and what security you provide for your family as a man. I really never really came full circle what that meant and what I meant to her and my family until really a couple months ago. I saw a video of Jordan Peterson. If you don't like him, I'm sorry, but I like him. And he said, he was giving a talk and he said, non-psychopathic men that have a propensity for violence keep psychopathic men at bay. And I was like, daggum, man, that's me. And I know a couple guys in this church are the same way. And what that meant to me, and when I listen to that, is when my wife says those things to me, I know she understands. I'll fight for my family like the third monkey trying to get on Noah's Ark. I mean, if it's 10 against 1, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. And I learned that in an unhealthy way, being the way I grew up. But there's some people in this church that are teaching their kids that way, the healthy way. And I recognize that. And you talk about athletics. There's a lot of athletes in this room. The best sport, one of the most difficult sports I know. And I wrestled, wasn't very good, but I know a lot of guys in here did. But wrestling, it is the most difficult sport. And I'm sorry if you don't feel that way. If you don't, you've never wrestled. I'm just point blank. And we got a guy in our church, Judah White, is going to state. It's a big deal. He's probably in one of the hardest divisions in Georgia high school wrestling. I felt like I wanted to bring you up here. And actually, I want to ask Brett if you would pray over him. And if there's any other guys in this church that have a propensity for violence that are non-psychopathic, I'd like for you to come up and put hands on Judah. And I don't want to pray for Judah, to be a champion. I want that for Judah. But I want him, like Sid told me, enjoy the process. Enjoy the process. Because this process that you're in for the next 4 years, this is going to plant the seed on how you fight for your family, how you get up and put your shoes on every day and you go to work, how you face those difficult times when you get kicked in the teeth in life. It's not about those 6 minutes on the mat all the time. It's about what happens after that. So if you come up here, Nick, please come up here.
Madeline, thank you for being an obedient this morning. And as I was thinking about what you said, the Lord showed me the table. And he said, there's lots of empty seats at that table this morning. And there's not. Then I began to look, and there were scraps on the ground. A lot of people pacing by. A lot of people picking up a scrap, but that scrap's not going to sustain you. And the Lord, I looked, and I'm like, okay, that Lord, what dishes are on the table? What's been prepared? And he said, that table has healing on it this morning. That table has peace on it this morning. That table has hope on it this morning. That table has love on it this morning. That there's not one need you have that's not set on that table today. And either whether it's this morning while you're still here or as you go home, think about what's on that table that you need today, because he'll supply every need you have.
Amen. I'm going to leave you with this verse. Hebrews 6, verse 12. He says, so don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who have fully received what God has promised, because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Follow the example of those who have fully received what God has promised. Be whole this week. Guard full this week. Guard full this week. Because these people need you to be that. They need you to be that. Amen. You got something, baby? Continue. Chuck had triple bypass this week, so keep praying for him. And let's love each other well as we love him well. Because when I love you well, then I'm loving him well. Then I'm loving him well. All right. Amen. Thank you for everybody that was obedient this morning. Thank you, Eric, for being obedient. Thank you for being obedient, Madeline. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you very much. It's a mother of the house right here, guys. When she says something, perk up and listen. When anybody does. Because I love it out of the mouths of babes. But when a mother of the house. Let's carry some weight. Y'all have an amazing week. Be light. Be light. Enjoy the process, Judah. You got but 5 more days of practice. Enjoy the process. Right? All right. Love you guys. We're dismissed.